Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Start calling me. Think about how many opportunities the professing Christian people have in this nation during this time of year that have a door open of opportunity there before them to speak about our salvation and our Savior. You know, do we take advantage of the season, whatever it may be? If it's speaking of his resurrection or of his birth, do we take advantage of those times to share it with our friends and our families and people? You know, my heart goes out to many people in our country. I'll just speak in general, speaking of the country of the United States. And I know the problem is very similar around the world. But my heart goes out to the people in America because what religion has been turned into. They've turned it into such a tangible type thing. And they've left the realms of the spiritual realities of Christ. The Bible teaches us that we must worship him in spirit. So often we worship him with our concepts of thought of what we think worship is. Many times we serve him with what our intellectual concept of servitude would be, or a servant. And it's commendable, and he will honor your effort because your effort is unto him. And he will honor that, and he'll receive your labors with a thankfulness. But as you progress on in time, he wants to perfect our efforts, our endeavors. He wants to perfect us. I know he perfected us by his works at Calvary once and for all. And we could stand in that and believe that. But the same thing is, we could talk about all the magnificence and all the awesomeness, all the greatness of the Father before he walked among men. We could talk about the purity, the perfection, the perfectness, the understanding, the knowing all things, no beginning, no end, all of the uncomprehendable in the man's mind attributes of the Father. But it was nothing to man. I mean, it was all there before time, brethren. As Brother Pike would say, it was before the beginning. Before the beginning. You're the one who created a beginning. He has no beginning. He always has been. So how do you put a beginning? Well, so he was before your beginning. Amen. He has been the same. But then yet, to express it to the comprehension of humanity, it had to be broke down, transformed. You know, you've heard it said over the years and many times, but we think of the high 30,000-40,000 volts that run through the power lines. If you bring that into your house, it would fry your house. So they put a transformer up there on a pole, usually a cross up there, and the transformer there breaks that power down for it to come down into your home. So all of this magnificence come through the transformer, Jesus on the cross there, to break it down, to bring it into this dwelling place, that we could receive and perceive and understand and get a measure of the power of God. Amen. The thing is that in anything, we're going to receive the power, and we're going to start manifesting the power. We're going to start bringing the invisible things of God. This is what faith is. We're going to bring it into a substance. You see, all the invisible, beautiful attributes of God, they're invisible. But by faith, we got to bring them into a manifestation. They have to see them. So we think of the birth of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and we go to the Christmas story, and we find that the Holy Spirit moves over this virgin. We find the Holy Spirit moving over the waters in the creation of the world. So now, form and void, we spoke about this over the years many times. And this world was without form and void, and darkness upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moves over, and we find the creation of the earth. We find me the same way. The Spirit of God moved over, the Holy Spirit. And you say, well, in your case, it'd be the Holy Ghost. I say, yes, you're exactly right. And the thing is this Spirit of the living God brings forth life. And we have to be married unto him, the bride. Remember, in your understanding, New Testament doctrine, if you're not married to the woman, if the man does unseemly to her, he needs to marry her. So there has to be a marriage for the child's sake. So we've been married unto him. Amen. Now we go to the Christmas story again, and we find this virgin, we find Brother Joseph, he's going to marry this woman because he knew what would take place, what she would have been numbered with in different things. There's some beautiful revelations, brethren, that we have to find the pattern of God all the way down through and bring it into our lives. And if we don't have this overshadowing, now I have to go, no, it's got to go beyond that, but I'm talking about the overshadowing is in this marriage perspective to bring forth this seed. It's wonderful to talk about the birth of Jesus. Come on. The firstborn of many brethren. And it's wonderful to talk about this awesome miracle that took place. But you know, it's just as much as a miracle when you're born again as when he was. No different. And you say, oh, but wait a minute, Brother Rob. He came into this world and he didn't come through the loins of man and he wasn't in sin and corrupted and thus us. Well, then maybe it was even a little bit more to get you born again then, huh? You know, it is a wonderful thing. I'm not going to take away from the glory of magnifying and praising God for the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'm telling you, it's just as much as a miracle for you to be born again. It's the same thing all over again. The same thing. You see, the thing is that he came and he purchased you and shed his blood for you and made you clean for the relationship could happen. Or otherwise, it couldn't take place, nor could it happen. What about the cleansing of the spirit man? The spirit man never need cleansed. He was leaping for joy before the world ever was. He said he saved you before the world ever was. You see, and this is where people get crossed up and they don't understand. Well, you know, if that's the case, you know, I'm predestined in God. You know, it don't matter what I do, I'm predestined in God. If I'm going to make it, I'm going to make it. No matter what I do, how I live, this and that. Well, then just prove that you're serpent seed, because that's a real ignorant kind of way thinking. Brother Pike made a statement. A man come to him and said, you know, God's just going to save me despite of myself. Thinking, yeah, it sounds a little Catholic, don't it? You know, your Catholic church, your Baptist church, Methodist church, Pentecostal church ain't going to save you, my friend. There's only one thing that can save you. Amen. Many people in there could tell you what that name is, who it is. But the thing is it still comes back to the miraculous birth. The miraculous birth. What must I do to be born again? What must I do to be born again? You know, there's thousands of people in churches professing Christianity. Professing, I'm a Christian. What would appear to be a strong conviction and a strong faith. Well, let me tell you something. I could be real determined about a lot of things and you could interpret it as faith. Well, Brother Rob got faith and it could be a strong determination. And it looked like a strong will. Sometimes we can't discern the difference between a positive profession and true faith. True faith will have a positive profession, but every positive profession isn't backed with a true faith. You realize that? There's so many allegories of that. There's so many things I could show you of the same thing. In the track we got back here, it says, how do I know I'm born again? We talked about a man that has a seed that has life in it and another man that has seed without life in it. They go through all the same motions, the same inspirations, the same exuberances. Everything's the same, but there's a conception in the woman or the wife in one, and in the other one there's not. We say the same thing about the womb of a woman. The womb could be dead, and the seed could have life and strength and power, but it goes into a dead womb. It will not reproduce. And all those things are just beautiful allegorics of you being birthed in the Spirit. And then we go so lackadaisical through life, speaking of humanity. They just go through life and, you know, so this and that. But, you know, I think of the women in the Old Testament that they found themselves in a barren state or their husbands were trying to bring forth children and how they would plead before God. I would love to see that as a minister or even a Christian. I would love to see people pleading with God to bring forth the fruit of the womb, the fruit of salvation, the fruit of holiness, the fruit of godliness. Bring forth the virtue of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that their presence brings conviction to people. When they come into their presence, that people are convicted of their sins and of their ways and many things. You know, and you think, well, that would be awesome. It's attainable. It's not a dream. It's not something that we should just desire. It's something that we need to bring forth. But it's going to take sacrifice. Look at the sacrifice that our Lord and Savior, the firstborn. Remember, the firstborn of many brethren. What makes us think that the elder brother is going to carry all the burden? You know, my dad had three boys, and every one of us, he had to train us to work. It's not like he just trained the firstborn, and he done all the work, and the rest of us just rode mini bikes and go-karts. We had to work also. Now, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you that the works of Christ are sufficient at Calvary. He did all the works, and we're saved by grace, not by works. But I'm not just speaking about salvation now. If you're saved, did Jesus come for his salvation to come to the world? We know better than that. He's the Prince of Life. He didn't come here for his life, nor did he come here for his salvation. So now I come to faith in Christ that I'm born of God. And this birth took place before the world ever was. And I was leaping for joy then. So then what am I doing here? The same thing he was doing here. I'm here for others' salvation. And you say, well, that's pretty arrogant. That's thinking pretty highly of yourself. No, I'm thinking highly of him. I couldn't get here on my own. He brought me here. I wonder if any of the royalty family over there, you know, using the allegory of the royal family there in Europe, I wonder how many princes, well, I'm not going to ride in the royal car. I'm going to take my moped. I don't want to fly in the family jet on the vacation. I'm just going to take a ferry boat. They accept what they got, didn't they? I believe they accept that they were birthed into this royal family, and they're going to walk in partakers of it, and they're going to be glad they were born in this family. They're going to be thankful that they were birthed into this family. And if they have the true, genuine love of what royalty should have, they should be desiring to help the people that are taking care of them and supporting them. So here now you are. How many has been born of the royal family and the royal seed? I mean, that's what the Bible teaches us. Do we believe it, those saints of God? Does being a child of the King make us walk in arrogancy? Well, we got to go to the pattern of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords when he walked. How did he walk when he come here? He came to serve. He came to give. So there's our pattern. Brethren, we know what we're here for and why we're here, and it's a labor for us. Do you realize that? Do you realize that when Jesus came to earth, it was a labor? He didn't come and let him crown him. You know, do you want the royalty? Do you want the crown? You want all, or do you want to do the same thing the firstborn did? He came not for himself. He came for others. And let me tell you, that's the key to salvation right there to you. We have people in here tonight that are very unsure of their own salvation. They truly are. They're just not sure. They toss to and fro, and they're up and down and this and that. And it's why they just don't really realize what they are. They're seeking salvation, and you never find it. You'll never find it. You start seeking other salvation, and you are salvation. That's the only way you'll have salvation in Jesus Christ. You be seeking after the good of others. You be seeking after salvation. You seek after the edification of another. You seek after the thing. You see, if you're reading the word to find edification, it's not for your edification, it's for their edification. Do you realize that? You say, well, yeah, but we got to, you say, I disagree with that. You know, I got to read the word for I could be edified. And I say, yes, you should be edified. That's the work of the Holy Ghost, brings edification, exhortation, and comfort to you. And you can have that taking place in your life. You should have comfort. You need to stay in the word for you can have comfort. But then what? We're going to take the comfort to others. We're going to bring good news and glad tidings to men. We're going to go to the weary and the lost and the hopeless and bring them strength and hope. And we're going to bring them life. That's why we do this. That's our purpose. That's our plan. That's his plan, I should say. I can tell you one of the biggest enemies of God. There's many enemies of God. you know, but selfishness. It'll destroy, it'll remove him from the situation in a moment. It'll back him off from you quicker than anything. Just simply selfishness. When you're self-willed, that's selfishness. But our Lord came with the joy to give his life. He gave us a gift. And the thing is when we think about this season, we think about gifts and sharing and things, it would be nice to share our life with him and give back to him. Give him our life as that sacrifice. Then we can start really perceiving and understanding this season. Get exuberant. We can get excited. We can have a good time tonight. And I'm all for it. But at the same time, the purpose of our gathering, the purpose of this time, we could leave void of understanding. We could leave lacking of what we need. And we get ritualistic. We get desensitized. And I don't want to be there. How hard is it when the world is on a wide, broad path of destruction and the Christian community is encompassed in that wide, broad path of destruction? It would be nice if that street called Straight, you know, was 1,000 yards over the other way, but I believe it's going right down the middle of it in the opposite direction. It could be somewhat a difficult course. It's easy when you get in with a bunch of people going in the flow with them. It's easy to walk with them. It's easy to agree with them. You know the old saying, monkey see, monkey do, makes me really believe that Darwin was right. Because the human race is a bunch of monkeys. No, I'm sorry. I mean, we could laugh about that, but I'm telling you, I see more chimpanzee in the human race than I do Christ. And I mean that, thus saith the Lord. I think the human race is more relative to a monkey, a chimpanzee, an orangutan, than it is to my Lord and my God. With the things that they're doing and the things that they're saying and the way that they're believing and the things that they're accepting, it's really easy to believe that they are beast. What separates us from that? There's only one thing that can. You see, it's not this image. It's not this man. It's not this body. Even though it's the purchased possession. But as we see it now, it's the vanity. This is why we no longer know Jesus after the flesh that he walked in. That wasn't the thing to bring the glory. It was the globe, we might say, to bring the light that it could be contained to walk among men. And the light now dwells within us. And we're bringing forth the light. And we are the light of this gospel. But brethren, the thing is you say, well, then why does God put so much significance on this body? He puts as much significance on this body as he does the earth. And this earth will go through a metamorphosis also. It'll go through a transformation, a transformed earth, and it'll go through a transfigured earth. The thing is my earth right now is already in the transformation realm. I brought it upright in righteousness of Christ. Being tilted. I know you've heard this before. But brethren, we got to bring these things not to just some kind of a hearing of a concept of you getting a little glimpse of maybe a revelation or a little glimpse. It's got to become a reality in your life. It's got to be something that you understand. Now, wait a minute. I'm a creature of righteousness. The righteousness of Christ lives in me. The righteousness of Christ is invisible, and I have to bring it forth that man could perceive it and see it. And the only way that I could bring forth the righteousness of Christ is with the attributes of him. And the attributes of him is walking in darkness, bringing forth light. The attributes of him is walking in people that hated him and doing good to them and loving them. But then yet we find that the chimpanzee or the beast nature, okay, that we fit in with mankind. Well, this guy done me wrong. I'm going to let him know. I'm going to let him know. Bless God, I owe it to him. When you take this attitude, well, I'm a son of God, and the Bible said rebuke him sharply, you've missed the revelation of it. When you feel that you're justified because you're a son of God to wear somebody out, you might be totally unjustified. Now, let me ask you a question. If we're going to talk about righteousness, can anybody contend or chide the fact that Jesus was righteousness manifested? I mean, we got to know he was all righteousness. He was the perfect example of holiness, righteousness, godliness, virtue, everything. It was all the fullness there. Okay, so it was all there. Now, if anybody had the right to rebuke or to do something, it would have been him. But he says, Father, forgive them while they're nailing to a tree. Now, he did an act in the temple of God, and there was a purpose for that. He never defended himself, but he defended the temple. Because he saw some things taking place that showed an abomination in the temple. And it was something that won't be tolerated. So he showed that this same one that walked him along and wiped the spittle out, they plucked his beard, they done all these horrible things to him, but then yet he goes with a whip and chases them out of the temple, kicking tables over. So we have to understand this, brethren, because many times we could take a story of such and then we could justify our fleshly animosity, huh? Well, bless God, it's just like Christ in the temple. But you know, we're going to have to learn first to conquer that man. I've said it several, many thousands, hundreds, I don't know, times. But it was a revelation to Brother Rob. Maybe it'll never be one to you, but he said, righteous indignation doesn't justify fleshly animosity. Righteous indignation could take the scripture to possibly veil. Righteous indignation could conceal the matter. Righteous indignation could suffer the wrong. Righteous indignation could go silent before the slaughter. I'll give you an example of what I'm saying. A dad could have a real righteous reason to be disappointed with his son or angry with his son. His son violated him. His son cheated, robbed, lied, or whatever he done. And dad has the full expectation of God to discipline the boy. God is very displeased with a father that wouldn't bring chastening to the boy. When a father won't discipline his son, he's telling his son he's a bastard, that he's not his father. So remember that, fathers or dads. When you choose not to discipline your children, you're telling them that they don't have a father. And you're not worthy to be considered a father. I tell you, there's as much love as a father taking a belt, paddling the child, as there is when he's hugging him and telling him, I love you, son. I love you, daughter. There's no greater. And let me tell you something. The paddling would probably be a greater expression of love in this world because the embrace has been turned into a perversion. It truly has. There's many things that used to symbolize true meanings. The embrace could have been an emblem of real genuine love. When a man looked at his wife and said, I love you, honey, it could have been something that expressed with a real true meaning. But nowadays, they say that and they're off with another. People say, I love you, Lord. Come to church and cry and wrist their hands. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord God. They'll express those kind of things and in turn and commit adultery on him by going right into the frolics of your mind in the world. So you see, again, we're looking and analyzing and speaking of all these things because the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by what appears. And you could tell me, well, I'm born again. That happened in the spirit because you're born of the spirit. So if you say that I'm born again, the unseen things of that people say, well, how'd that birth work? It's going to be seen in what appears. I'm going to see it in your life. The unseen things of this spiritual birth are going to appear in your life. And if you are born of God, then you have the attributes of God. And if you're born of him, we could talk about his birth and coming to earth 2,000 years ago, but we got to talk about him coming to earth today in you or there's no birth. And the same attributes that he brought forth have got to be in you if you are part of his body and you've come into the same mind that he's in. So if all of the unseen things of the spirit world are revealed by the things that appear, so I'm talking about the appearance of you, and if you are appearing in the likeness of God, which the Bible teaches us very clear, that the reason of this is to conform to his image. That's exactly how it says it, to conform to his image. So how do we do that? The only conformity to his image isn't this right here. We say, oh yeah, we're created or we're born. The thing is going to be in this creation part of us is going to bring forth the image of God in the image that man could see. the vanity. And we're going to bring it up right and they'll see it. So the thing is if I'm birthed in the kingdom and the spirit world's invisible, so I say I'm birthed in the spirit. I'm born of the spirit. I'm birthed in the spirit. Okay, it's invisible. How are you going to know that I'm born again? Well, I heard him say the sinner's prayer. I was at the same Billy Graham crusade with him. I got the certificate of baptism when I was 12 years old. I got sprinkled. I got what? No, that has nothing to do with it. What all those things are motions. Just like the barren woman that goes through the motions, but she never brings forth a child. There's many people that go through the motions and the formulas in religion. They go to church, some give their tithes, some pay money, some do this, and they are going through the motions, but there's no birth. I thank God that they're going through the motions, because at least they're at the place that they could receive the seed. And when they could receive the seed, then they're going to bring forth the heir to the throne of God. The heir to the throne is birthed. Remember that. The wild parts that's adopted in and it's been cleansed and washed, just like the woman that went through the rituals in the Old Testament, that she could go before the king. That outer part is the wild part. But it was been washed by the blood, been adopted in, grafted in, that wild part. It's relative to the Jew. But the part that we're talking about is the true inward spirit. Okay, we got to bring it forth and take advantage. You see how important it was for God to use the Jew? He's still wanting to. But you see, we step to that perspective in another dimension. That outward man's relative to that. You realize that there's going to be many people that are going to go through tribulation that are professing Christianity because they have the same mind the Jews did. They're rejecting the Messiah today. You see, their rejection was Jesus walking among them, bringing good news and glad tidings to them, sharing the revelations with them and talking to them. They rejected him. Okay? Now today, it's the same thing. You see, Jesus is appearing in another form today. Who is it? It's Brother Randy. Well, Brother Randy's got problems. Well, they said the same thing about Jesus. They called him a wine bibber. Didn't they? You know, you could try to denounce the Christ in me because of my ignorance. You know, well, I know who your dad is, and you're just like him. You got a big nose just like him. You're as ugly as he is, and, you know, you can't tell me nothing. You might have just rejected the voice of God in the earth. You know, he spoke through a jackass, didn't he? Come on now. So he still is. And I say, amen. Praise God. He's still getting the voice out, ain't he? But what I'm saying is, you know, you might smile or whatever and think, oh, you know, that's funny. But this, no. But what I'm saying is, if he could do that, I'm using a beast. I'm using some kind of a hard-headed, ignorant beast. See, those things are for a reason, brethren. It wasn't that the Lord just chose this hard-headed, rebellious, mind of its own animal for just a reason. He was showing Brother Rob and Brother Rassico, will admit it. I don't know the rest of you will. The Lord is going to bring forth his mind, his revelation, his love, and he's going to bring to people. He's going to bring salvation. And there ain't going to be anybody that's going to be able to carry this to meet up to your religious expectation. When you build this religious expectation, Satan is going to come into that thing and he's going to make it where it's impossible for you to receive life. Now, am I in here trying to build a doctrine of foolishness that we could just listen and hear from anybody or anything and we're going to hear God? But we need to be careful. Out of the mouth of babes, he says. Babes and sucklings, little children, he could perfect praise. He could bring an understanding. You realize a little child could come in and say something, and if you're sensitive to the voice of God, you could say, oh God, have mercy on me. If we're listening, he's speaking. He's talking to us. Continually. Some men are so arrogant in their own conceit and that they're masculine and they're the man and thank God God made them a man and not this weak, poor woman. You know, thank God. Some white people, thank God he didn't make me a Negro. But whatever, some of them are, man, I'm so thankful he didn't make me white. I was overworking in the islands And I mean, it was 98% black people there. And I'm in the town, I was doing some shopping, I was there working on aircraft. And I'm going through this big shopping center, and some guys made some racial slurs at me, you know, and an old black man came up to me. He'd probably 80 years old, and he come up and he put his arm around me. He said, "Sonny," you know, and he's talking, he's about 80. He said, "Sonny, it's all right, man. You're just as good as we are." You know, and I said, "Amen." So, you know, what I'm saying is, you know, the blacks could thank the whites could thank the blacks. Man, let them all have that, brethren. Let them just have at it. Let them kill each other, do whatever they're going to do. Amen. We're sons of God. Amen. We know who we are in Christ. Amen. And when you fall in love with Jesus, we're going to remove that racism and things. But as I was saying, you could take a man, and I went to the racial thing for a minute, but a man could have the same ignorant devil. "Shut up, woman. You're the weaker vessel. Man, you just need to shut your mouth and listen to me." Yeah, well, God's saying that to you. "Shut your ignorant mouth, sir. You're the weaker vessel. You need to shut your mouth and listen to me and follow me." And truly, there's some women that need to hear that from their husbands, and there's some husbands that need to hear that from God. So, you know, they're both accurate statements. You don't get right down to it. But the thing is what I'm saying is, a man with that kind of an arrogant, macho mentality ain't got no sensitivity to the voice of God or the Spirit of God. He needs to know that Jesus came with that guy's wife in his mind and laid his life down for her to have life. And he don't want you mistreating her and talking ignorant to her. Come on now. We need to go, you know, the next farther step. We always look at one thing, and what did I say a moment ago? One thing that God hated the most? Selfishness. Didn't I say that? Did I say that? Selfishness. You know, it's all about me, my wants, my wishes. I want to do this. I want this. I want this now. I. That's sad. Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't come with that kind of mind? He came with you on his mind. He came to bring you salvation, bring you life, bring you life more abundant, life holy. You say, "Well, man, I've received it." Then I say, the only way that we'll know that is because you're doing the same thing he done. You get out of the way. Scriptures that we oftentimes forget, and we say them, and you hear me say them, try to remind you of them. Simplistic little things, it's more blessed to give. Well, I know we always take that to finances, but you think it's more blessed for him to give his life for you than you to give his life for him. But let me ask you this, if he gave his life for you, the only way that you'll know that he gave it for you is by you giving your life to him. You say, "Well, he came and forgave my sin." Only way you'll know that he forgave your sin is for you to forgive the sin of your trespass or whoever done you. It's the only way you'll know his forgiveness. So it comes back to a dependency on an action on your part. So, you know, I don't believe that, Brother Rob. You cannot make my salvation stem on my actions. It's all on his actions and what he done. Well, let me tell you what I can tell you. Is I could tell you that if he did save you before the world ever was and put your name down in the book of life, and you say, "Okay, that's so be it. That's predestination." And I say, "Yea and amen." But then yet he went in and added something there. He said, "Make your calling and your election sure." What is your election? Well, there's a predestination in there. Now, if you're the elect of God, the only way that you could be elect and you'd be part of this election, the only way you could be that is in predestination. Now, how am I going to make that sure? There's only one way. So we come to church, you know, ritualistics or whatever wise, or out of desire, maybe out of need, maybe out of fear. You know, and it should be out of desire. I love the fellowship brethren. And well, you're preaching all the time, so you're going to love to come because you just love to get before people and talk to them. Well, I could step down. You know, that would be a real simple thing to do. But you know what? Before I was a pastor, I was in church. And I was fellowshipping the brethren and being around the brethren. And I was loyal and faithful to the house of God. Was you proved out for this, Brother Rob? Well, I thank my God that we're putting all of our faith and confidence and trust in through all of eternity would be some kind of an ignorant God if he didn't prove a man of God out. I mean, what kind of man runs a corporation and doesn't prove a man before he puts him in management? You know, nowadays that doesn't apply. You know, well, I got saved last night. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. You know, I spoke in tongues and stuff, you know, and here I come, world. I'm a minister. Hey, you know, we can laugh about that, but let me tell you, there's many of them in that shape and that form. Yeah, they'll go win some souls. They got some exuberance and excitement about God, and they'll be out telling somebody about Jesus. I'm not against that. But I'm talking about being sent forth, not just going. You know, there's some processing. There's some things to take place. We were talking about the royal family a minute ago. Okay, so this guy's next in heir to the throne, waiting for daddy to die, and he's going to be the next. But you know how much preparation there is for him? Do you realize how much preparation? You know how much preparation was to Moses? He was prepared to take over Egypt. Do you know that? Was prepared and trained to do such a thing. Well, how then, if we're looking at the allegories and all the things, then why would it be any different for the ministry? I'll use Manny as an example just here. We gave him an opportunity to speak the other night. He came in. He told me this. Or he told me after the service, he said, man, I haven't been eating. I've been fast. I'm going to go eat. I'm hungry. I would stick around and talk to you, but man, I'm heading for a biscuit. You know what? I appreciate that. He had enough concern for you that he fasted. Okay, and got before the Lord and prayed. I heard the Lord speaking through the brother. You know, and again, it doesn't matter. You could come up here and speak for 4 hours, or you could speak for 4 minutes. But I would rather hear 4 minutes of something directed from the Spirit of God, from the bosom of God into my spirit, as 4 hours of what you might think I want. So, time factor. I used my grandson Gabriel. I asked him to speak, and I remember he got up here about 5 minutes. But he had something to say. He prayed and he felt, and it didn't take him long to deliver what God gave him. It isn't the length of a message that makes it good. It's the message. Some message you can get over in a real short order of time. It don't take long. God could give you a message. You might try to spend a little bit of time trying to explain it to the dull of hearing. But there is a message that's got to go forth. The Bible said, make your calling and election sure. I'll be giving men opportunities in here. Sam's going to be up here before too long. He's come to me and he said, Brother Rob, I feel like I got a calling in my life. Well, you say, well, that's your responsibility, preacher. Brother George told me this. He said, work with these young people. Give them an opportunity. Okay, so it's my opportunity to see the calling in his life. Now, he may be called. The choosing is a different thing. Manny told me the same thing. Manny may be called. The choosing may be a different thing. What does Manny have to do to get chosen? Some of the things that he spoke about. He had some Emmanuel things that had to be dealt with and get out of the way before he could fulfill what God has for him to do. So he's saying, hey, I'm getting my eyes on some things. You know, this is what he said. He goes, I've been listening to Brother Robin. I'm hearing him say, but I really wasn't hearing. And all of a sudden, after, you know, they say, oh, man, you're so repetitive. I could tell you what he's going to say before he even goes up there, saying the same thing over and over again. And I'm going to keep on doing that until you actually hear what I'm saying. You know how many people have got their eyes open and thought, wow. I have people come to me and say, man, you said this. And then they'll say, and I go, wow. Because, I mean, I've really done some thorough teaching on that. But see, it's not my, I can't open your eyes. I can't open your eyes. He can. But I could be directed by him to speak certain things that'll help you to see beyond the veil and beyond this curtain of what you might call time. Again, man might get up here and he might preach, might exhort. There's all different kind of things. So we say, well, what if we see the gift of an orator in a man? He's got everybody's attention. He prophesizes. He works in a word of knowledge. Man, I've seen some guys work in all that weren't chosen. It's not the ability of the oratorship. That's something needed. The Bible said that the bishop has to be apt to teach. We got to see an apt to teach. If you can't get before people and teach them, then you won't be chosen. To be a pastor, you might be an exhorter, an evangelist, and you can go around and evangelize. But you have to be apt to teach. So that's part of the choosing, depending on what office. And sometimes God give a guy an opportunity to work a little bit. God give him an opportunity to find out for he can start exercise, for he can find out what his gift is. He might end up being one of the greatest speakers, the greatest orator. He might end up being the greatest teacher. I give him an opportunity to see. I've known some men that thought they had all these big ambitious things, and they got and they couldn't even get before people. That doesn't mean they can't be used in the kingdom, but it may be just not going to be. Some people are looking for the public platform to get up before the people. Some people love to go out, and even when they're in their businesses or in the streets, they love to talk about the Lord, but they're not talking about the Lord to win that man's soul. They're talking about the Lord for they could show them how big they are. Come on now. You ever see a big lion roar out in the woods? Boy, he's letting everybody know I'm king. And that's what we do sometimes. And we'll find a man and we're just going to show him how much we know him. We're spilling all this revelation, all this understanding, talking about all this meat. And the guy's sitting there going, do you have a pacifier? Do you have a bottle? I'd rather give a baby a drink of milk that'll give it some sort of nourishment as sit there and let him smell a big thick steak. He can sit there and smell the steak and everything. You're just going to make him cry the more until he gets something that he can handle. That's practicing the office of a minister. Looking for where that man's at. Who cares what you know? What we should care about is what he knows. And if we care only about we're so good and we're going to just leave, well, I put him in his place, didn't I? I showed him who I am. I showed him that I'm smarter than him. I showed him I got the... And I see this more in people testifying God. I see more of the beast thing going on than I do the Christ thing going on. I'm telling you, I'm an observer. I've watched this so many times, and it's like, you know, it's like two guys going to get in a ping pong match. Now graduate the swords one day, and then they're, you know, and it's all superiority. But somewhere needs to be love, a love for that person. And when you fall in love with Jesus, you can fall in love with that vile man and bring the love of God to him and help him to see, to hear, and to know. Let's all stand together. I'm going to read a little bit of scripture to you in 1 Peter 1, and then we're going to pray. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. Elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein greatly rejoice through now, for a season, if need be, your heaviness through a manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Whom having not seen, listen, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom through now you see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves but unto us they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost, sent down from heaven, which things the angel desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Be sober and hope to the end, for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. When's it going to come to you? Come on now, brethren. Well, it came to me at Calvary, and I say, yes, it did. But it's got to be made manifest to you and come to you at this revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourself according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all matter of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if you call on the Father, who without respect of person judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver or gold from your vain conversations, received the tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfringed love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Amen. Thank you for giving me adequate time to read the word and bring the word to you this evening. A lot said right there in that little chapter. What's being said there is not something of a historic value. What's being said here is something of a present day truth, a present day revelation. And as we would say here, a present application. We've got to apply this thing, all these things right here. Remember this part here. This outer part we see is relative to the grass. It fadeth away. It fadeth away. The flower fadeth away. But let me tell you, the word, that's why we got to get the Spirit of the Word in us. Because the Spirit of the Word is eternal, brethren. The Spirit of the Word is eternal. As they begin to play, we're going to open the altars and we'll go down in just a moment for fellowship. You love him? Thank you all.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, 3844 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.